Why Coke and Oil Don't Mix.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Yesterday's big rally on Wall Street was fueled in part by better-than-expected earnings from several companies, including Coca-Cola. But, sorry, Coke, there's a bitter aftertaste. Seems the slowing economy is hurting business, and the soft drink maker now says it'll have to raise prices after Labor Day. Oil prices are one problem. It costs more to deliver the product. But that's not all. There's been a drop-off in sales of Coke's higher-margin 20-ounce bottles. They happen to be sold the most in convenience stores and gas stations, where gas prices have cut into customer traffic. They said it couldn't last, and today they may be right. After its second straight rally, the stock market is facing some headwinds. The Dow climbed another 207 points, 1.8%. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both gained 1.2%. Today, crude prices have inched back over $130 a barrel in early trading, and investors will be confronting some underwhelming profit reports. Citigroup, the country's biggest bank, just posted a quarterly loss of $2.5 billion. Markets in Asia and Europe are down fractionally. European antitrust officials have filed new charges against Intel. They accuse the world's largest chipmaker of stifling competition. From the European desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The European Commission claims Intel has been playing dirty, trying illegally to push its lesser-known rival AMD out of the market. Intel allegedly paid a leading European retailer not to stock products containing AMD chips. Intel denies the charges. It says they stem solely from complaints made by their old rival. Barry Fox is with New Scientist magazine. He says as the overall market for new electronic equipment shrinks, this battle between the two chip makers is getting nasty.
You've got Intel currently making record profits and AMD showing losses. So it's not surprising that AMD is going to pull out all the stops to fight Intel.
The European Commission is clearly taking AMD's complaints seriously. If it finds Intel guilty, it could fine the company 10% of its annual sales. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clarks & Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
Federal law requires commercial truckers to speak enough English to read road signs and talk to police. Now the federal agency that oversees commercial trucking is planning to tighten those rules. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Commercial truck drivers are in short supply, so companies have been recruiting heavily among Hispanics. Today, one in six drivers is Hispanic. That's more than 500,000 truckers nationwide. No one knows how many of those drivers don't speak English, but truck driver David Casanova says it's often difficult to communicate by radio with other drivers.
You can't talk to them, you know, over the CB. How do you tell a guy you got a flat tire, or, hey, buddy, you know, you got a trailer door swinging if they don't understand, or, listen, you can't be on that road. It says right there, no trucks. So I've seen that a couple times.
Last year, more than 25,000 tickets were given to truck drivers who didn't speak English well enough to talk to police. Starting sometime next year, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration will ban interpreters from the driving portion of the license exam. That's expected to weed out drivers with poor English skills. Applicants can still take the written portion of the test in their native tongue. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The U.S. isn't by any means the only country dealing with the issue of migrant workers. In China, Beijing's Olympic building boom is being fueled by migrant workers. Already 200 million have left the countryside for more productive jobs in urban China. But that doesn't mean they're greeted with open arms, as Lisa Chow reports from Beijing.
The neighborhood surrounding Zhang Long's apartment building is one big construction site. But you wouldn't know as he walks his Pekingese dog in a quiet, enclosed courtyard. The dusty air from the construction outside is one thing, but it's the migrant workers who really bug him.
They're dirty. They're messy. Who can handle being so close to them?
Zhang is a retired bus driver, born and raised in Beijing. He invites over his friend, Shi Deyuan, also a retired driver, to talk about the migrant workers.
You shouldn't say that, even if it's true. And besides, whether you're from Beijing or not, we're all Chinese.
Less than a block away, outside large tents that serve as barracks, migrant workers play music on their cell phones to pass the time. Zhang Jinfeng came to Beijing a year ago from the neighboring Hebei province.
On the farm, we don't have skyscrapers. Maybe it's not a big thing for people in the city, but for me, wow, skyscrapers.
Zhang is 53. He came here by himself and says he doesn't have a family back home to take care of. He suffers from a limp, and because he's older than the typical migrant worker, he does landscaping instead of the more labor-intensive road and construction work.
I don't have weekends nowadays. Why? Because we've got a tight schedule with the Olympics coming. We work 8 to 9 hours every day.
Zhang said as a farmer, he used to make 3,000 yuan a year. That's about $430. In Beijing, he earns more than triple that amount.
After working in Beijing for 8 to 10 years, I'll be richer than the farmers back home, and I can use the money to help develop the countryside.
I ask him if he ever feels discriminated against.
No, I don't. We do the most physical jobs, the hardest jobs, and it helps develop the city. Beijing people know, and we know, that they need us.
It's the one thing that local residents and migrant workers agree on. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Call it a corporate catfight, Mattel has won a major lawsuit that may decide the question.
Who's the hottest princess here?
A California court has ruled the creator of the highly popular Bratz dolls was actually working at Mattel when he conceived the midriff flashing, pouty lip princesses. Designer Carter Bryant claims he was between jobs when he came up with the dolls. Damages will be decided next week, maybe royalties, maybe handing over the whole line. The Bratz have been clawing away at Barbie's market share. This morning, Barbie's slip was showing in Mattel's disappointing profit report. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Share your thoughts on any of our stories. Just click on the contact link at marketplace.org. And thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.